You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Pete Futak is on Twitter at Pete Futak, and he joins us on Fridays. And those aren't boos you're hearing as Few steps in. Oh, no, wait, no, they are. They're boos.
A smattering.
Yeah,
it's a
smattering of boos. But he is College Football News, the College Football News podcast.
Are those shifts we're hearing?
Yeah, I got to be very careful with that because I know I tend to elide things if I'm not careful. But
especially after this week for you.
Well, yeah, all good. So I don't have to do that for another half a decade at least. The game we're looking at is number 16, Michigan, at number 7, Penn State. We're going to talk about that. But first, what's going on in Evanston tonight, and how is anybody supposed to get to this game when officials are already warning about major traffic snarls? This could be one of those things where the stands don't even fill until halfway through the first.
It's the most inconveniently placed stadium outside of Wrigley Field that you can find it, because they're all Ohio State fans, they're all coming from elsewhere, and they're all driving, but it's like, really, this place has been here for a gazillion years and now they're figuring out that there's a traffic problem with being where it is in Evanston. You're right, it's going to be a packed house, it's going to be all Ohio State fans, and they all just need to get on the train.
I'll ask you the same question we've been talking about all week. It's the you've got two matchups in the Big Ten. Number 4, Ohio State at Northwestern. Number 6, Wisconsin at Illinois. If I made you put $50 on one of those teams to upset the ranked teams, which team would you put the $50 on?
Obviously, Illinois, because we are way overdue for the Joel Stavi-esque, like, 9-interception game where something really weird happened. Illinois, a burst of...
Yeah, we're going to reestablish contact with Pete Futak and make sure we can get a little bit better line.
It's the Joel Stavi reference. He knew it as soon as he started it. You make the Joel Stavi reference, and then things tend to eat at the communications lines because I just won't have it. I can't allow it. Those memories are too fresh. It's
Is he on a roster?
Torture. Joel Stavi? Maybe.
I don't know what that would tell you about the state of quarterbacking in America.
I know he got a practice squad.
Is Brooks Bollinger on there somewhere and Jim Sorge somewhere?
Probably. Yeah, Jim Sorge lasted. He had the best job in the NFL for a solid 15 years, backing up Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Just holding the clipboard for old Peyton.
So you were discussing why you think Illinois is that bet because we're due for the bad quarterbacking game? And
had him, lost him.
Okay.
Joel Stavi was signed by the Browns because I know you want to know. April 30th of 2018 and was waived 2 weeks later. That's the last job he's had in the NFL, Joel Stavi.
All right, Pete, now that we have reestablished a little more reliable contact here.
I'm sorry, I mentioned Jim Sorge, and all of a sudden, you know, the Daft Punk robot rock kicked in on the app here with Jim Sorge. I'm sorry, not Jim Sorge, Joel Stavi, and it ruins everything technical related associated with it.
It does that. So you'd take the Illinois in the upset?
I would, if I had to answer your question. Neither one's happening, but at some point Wisconsin's not going to have that great offensive performance, and it's going to Wisconsin up in a bad performance. And Illinois is just, I'm waiting for something. I thought we saw it for a moment there against Michigan, and I thought we saw it in the first half against Minnesota. At some point, Illinois is going to put together that game they put together against the Gophers last year and do it for a full 60 minutes. It can't happen fast enough for Lovie Smith, but it's not going to happen. But if I had to put money on it, that's the one. Because also, Wisconsin's road trip, this is the first time they've been away from Madison since late August.
You've been kind of a Michigan honk, where others have been enjoying trying to predict the eventual expiration date of the Jim Harbaugh coaching regime. But now Michigan's got a chance to go in under whiteout conditions and topple number 7 Penn State, just as they are trying to knock on the door of this elite group.
Yeah, the whole whiteout thing, Penn State's creepy enough as is, take it to another level with the whole whiteout thing. I am a Michigan apologist. I'm a Harbaugh apologist, and it's funny because this whole week I've been asked at least 10 times, well, if Harbaugh loses this, is that it? Is that it for the Harbaugh era? Is he on the hot seat? No. As the average sports fan on the street, what Michigan's record is right now, you'd think it's like 2-4 or something. They're 5-1. They lost to a historically great-started Wisconsin team, And they haven't been great. You know, they've been ugly. But Harbaugh never gets credit for the wins like he got at Iowa. Everyone just focuses on the big losses against the great teams. Penn State's, knocking on that door. That offense hasn't shown up against a big team, though. Iowa, it struggled against. Pitt's not exactly a big team, and it struggled against them. But that defense and that pass rush has been phenomenal. I think Penn State wins. I just think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring, close game. And once again, Michigan's offense is going to look like it's about to turn the ball over on every play. And that's been the biggest problem, is that the optics just aren't good. This is when the offense is supposed to kick in. This is when the passing game is supposed to be fun. They've got the veterans there. They've got NFL-ish receivers. They've got a veteran quarterback in Shea Patterson, and it's just not quite working. But again, 5-1 is 5-1, and the narrative can flip fast. If Michigan wins this, Michigan State's not all that great. That's a winnable game.
Michigan State, we got to talk about them.
There's not a lot there for Michigan to have to worry about until they deal with Ohio State, if they can somehow survive a bunch of people wearing white T-shirts and not be freaked out by it.
I do have a suggestion for the folks at Michigan State. Outside hires. I think that's going to be something they may have to invest in Spartan land.
And the strange part about it is Mark D'Antonio goes off and rips on the reporter. The offense is actually sort of kind of working compared to last year. And it's kind of hard to sell the world on, if you got blown out by Wisconsin, that's okay. It's kind of the Alabama, I'm putting Wisconsin, Alabama in the same sentence here, but it's kind of the deal. Sometimes if you lose to a team that's just amazingly good, you kind of have to say, okay, well, that's just that, and move on about your day. Look at what Michigan State had to do. They had to deal with an Arizona State team that's pretty good, has a good defense, and you had the weird gaffe where you had the 12 men on the field late in the field goal attempt. They lose that. They have to go on the road. Then they go on the road to Columbus and play an Ohio State team that probably is the best team in college football. And then for their third road game in 4 weeks, they have to deal with Wisconsin and Madison. I give them a little bit of a break because, okay, they lost to two of the best teams in college football on the road. Everyone's going to look a little bad doing that.
Is Joe Burrow outplaying Tua Tagovailoa for the best quarterback in the game right now? And if he does, would it be enough to get drafted over Tua once we get to April?
The scuttlebutt's starting. Let me put it this way. Washington State's Anthony Gordon has gone absolutely bonkers this season. His stats are through the roof. He had the 9-touchdown pass game against UCLA. He's actually doing a whole lot better than Gardner Minshew Magic was last year at this time. He is absolutely ripping it up. He has 25 touchdown passes. And so does Joe Burrow. Huh. I mean, it's crazy. Last week was the week, because before you could look at LSU's schedule, and I did. I was an idiot saying, well, you know, LSU, this has been fun, but they haven't played a defense that includes Texas. And, okay, what, you know, they beat up Vanderbilt. Okay, that's fun. Now they got to go against this NFL secondary that Florida's got. And he ripped them to shreds. He was great. And they're not just dinking and dunking. It's not just, you know, this Lincoln Riley, you know, hit the guy in stride and hope for the best thing. He's throwing it downfield with accuracy. And to your point, I don't know if he's going to be past Tua yet. I mean, Tua has just got this otherworldly arm, and he's got the NFL tools to be able to hit guys who are open or locked down. He can throw it anywhere. He's fearless. He's got the NFL ability to throw to covered receivers, and Burrow is starting to show that. But at the very least, he's pushing past maybe Justin Herbert, who's also having a phenomenal year so far.
So Georgia takes a loss to South Carolina. It felt like Mark Richt all over again. They get Kentucky, and then that Florida team you were just talking about. They're not out of this, I assume. I mean, not really, but are they?
Oh, I stepped in it. I dared to tweet out something which is actually correct. A 12-1 SEC champion this year is in the college football playoff no matter what. Doesn't matter if it's Florida, doesn't matter if it's Auburn, doesn't matter if it's Missouri, if the NCAA decides to give them a break. Yeah. If you're a 12-1 SEC champion, because there won't be enough other undefeated other Power 5 champions, it is absolutely in, because you're going to have to beat Alabama or LSU, blah, blah. And everyone yells at you, like, well, wait a minute, look at Georgia, they just lost to South Carolina, that's a disqualifier. No, they still have to play Florida, they still have to go to an SEC championship if they win that. They still beat Notre Dame. It was a bad performance by them. Same thing for Florida. Okay, they lost to LSU, but both of them, if either one of them has any hope of going to the college football playoff, You got to win the cocktail party. Can't call it a cocktail party game. And you got to win the SEC championship. This year, unless you're LSU or Alabama and you go 11-1 and you play well in that game a couple of weeks from now and you end up losing that, you can't go 11-1 and beat Georgia or Florida this year and get in the college football playoffs. So long-winded way of saying they're not out of it yet, and this Florida-Georgia game is going to be a really big deal.
This segment's brought to you by Mecum Auctions. Mecum Auctions, the largest collector car auction company, returns to the Schaumburg Convention Center October 24th to the 26th. See 1,000 muscle cars, classics, Corvettes, hot rods, resto mods, and more. Advanced discounts on bidder registrations and tickets at Mecum.com. That's Mecum.com. Talking college football with Pete Futak. You know, we haven't gotten a lot of opportunity to mention what goes on out west in the Pac-12. But Oregon is 12th and Washington is 25th, and they're going to be on our television at 2:30 on Channel 7.
2:30? Okay, all right.
So it's not Pac-12 after dark,
watch it.
But it remains a battle between two ranked teams that is certainly more than watchable.
And watch Oregon. This is one of those games, if you're kind of looking to say, okay, who's the team out there that really should be talked about a lot more, that defense is killing everyone. They had the one bad late 2 minutes against Auburn, and they haven't given up anything since. They have gone five straight games, whatever it's been since then, without giving up more than 7 points in any game. They are just dominating. They have NFL talent across the board. Justin Herbert would be talked about right there with Tua, right there with Joe Burrow, if he didn't lose that first game. He has been every bit the pro prospect that everyone was sort of hoping for. That Oregon thing is going to be a thing for the next several years. They've recruited well. They've got a great young talent base. Washington, though, they've been flaky. They've got the ability to rise up at home and beat this team if everything clicks right and if Jacob Eason goes off. The key to this game is 200 yards. If you look at the history of this series, when Washington gets to 200 yards, they beat Oregon. When they don't beat Oregon, and this defense for Oregon is just that good. I think they're still knee-deep in the college football playoff hunt. And once we get in it in a couple weeks when the college football playoff rankings first come out, I think the committee is going to be a lot nicer to Oregon than everyone else is right now. And the other team in the Pac-12 to keep an eye on this weekend, watch out for Utah. They've been dismissed because of that loss to USC, but they've been killing everybody else. There's a really solid chance, and speaking of big matchups that would be a whole lot of fun to see, if 11-1 Utah and 11-1 Oregon meet in the Pac-12 championship, that will be as good as any other Power 5 championship game this season. Those two are really playing at a high level, and they're not just good enough to get to a college football playoff. They could actually, both these teams are good enough with their defenses to actually potentially win a game.
Pete, have a great weekend, man.
Later, guys.
See you, Pete.
Pete Futak.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.